face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Friday. Let's finish strong, shall we? So?
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Doing great.
Good.
How
good.
Doing?
Nice to see you, Hardy.
Good morning.
Hey. Nice to see you. I'm sitting really far back. My mic is going to break any moment. It's going to fall to the floor. I can feel it. Dennis is looking at me through the window already.
I feel like it.
It's like a pile of graphite or something on the table there, too. I don't know what that...
Sure is.
It's very dirty. Very dirty. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Zoe has a pair of clippers in his hand. You did get the real deal. The plug-in...
You doubt me?
Plug-in clippers, the wall plug-in clippers for Zoe.
Uncle Zoe, looking for you today.
That's what that noise is.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Milliken's here.
He's here.
Ready to get the beard.
You're going
to
lose some weight today, son.
Look at that. He's got a weak chin. And Zoe's
going to see how weak it is.
And Zoe's going to expose it.
I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, this is going to happen, what, around 10:50?
You guys 10:50.
You guys are going to, we're not going to like cover it live, but we're going to check in on it.
If you're on the simulcast, you'll be able to see it. We'll also, of course,
sure,
post the video online as well.
Hardy can back me up on this because I said, all right, seriously, okay, give me the parameters. What do you want to happen? And he said, it's just full go. That's it. Just stop talking. That's all I needed. So I get full clearance to do what I want to do. And you never know what's going to happen with that.
I told you it should have been 10 wins. He said 7. You said 7. And then they ripped off
I said 10.
9 wins.
I said 10. He said 7. He's the one that put it down to 7.
I know. Foolish.
I did it to myself.
And if it were 10, you would have been safe.
Looking for those clowns now, huh, bud?
You would have been safe. You would have said, another day, Zoe, another day.
Yep. But Tyler probably doesn't know this because he hasn't been around Zoe that long yet. Zoe's an artist. I mean, I do not think that it's going to look like crap. And I also don't think he's just going to shave it all off.
No.
I think you're going to do something artistic.
Right.
Maybe give him a little flair.
I sort of want him to look like Joe Haggerty. And I don't know if that's a good thing. But, I mean, we could do the pork chop sideburns. I will not maim him. I told him that. I contacted him throughout the course of the week. And I said, don't worry. Don't sweat. I'm not gonna F you up. So
what a gentleman you are.
Yeah. Class.
What a gentleman.
Full class.
What a lucky guy.
I got your back,
kid.
I think you should just neck beard.
How about I shave your head?
The Andrew Luck.
Leave just the neck.
Just neck beard.
What if we just took off from right here, like the chin line and up, and left everything down?
Wow.
That way you could say, hey, that's my gator that I pull up. he'll be wearing a gator.
Okay.
Today.
All right. Very good. How'd you feel about Bill Belichick's press conference yesterday?
I thought he gave a little bit as far as numbers and potential movement within the draft. I saw him after it in person. We did an interview for All Access, which will air next week. He's in a good mood. He's ready to get going. He's in a better mood than I thought he would be after what the players sort of said that they're not going to show up next week. I kind of have the feeling some are. So, yeah, Bill's in a good mood. He's ready to go.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
So you saw him yesterday?
Saw him yesterday.
He was in a
first
good
time
mood.
First time I've seen him in over a year.
All right. So let me do
oh, that's
little...
right. Everything you guys yeah. did everything remotely.
Right.
Last
yeah. Let me do a timeline here. So Bill yesterday spoke with the media at 2 o'clock and had his media session. And then you saw him later in the day. You weren't there at 2 o'clock. It had to be after that.
Oh, no. And then I hit traffic. I was late. He was standing out on the field waiting for me. I get out there, and it's like, you know, when Jesus reappeared to the apostles, like, you can't touch him. He's not of this earth.
What?
So I said, I didn't know what to do. You know, you haven't seen a guy in a year. I'm like, excited to see him.
Yeah.
And he came over, and we did the embrace. So it was,
he initiated. You embraced.
He initiated the embrace.
You embraced. That's really embraced. Great.
Made me feel good.
You know, it's really
it
nice.
It made me feel good about the Patriots.
That make you feel good, Artie?
Gets me excited. Like, that's okay, let's go.
I feel good about the Jesus metaphor, but I feel good that you two embraced.
But you don't know whether, like, some people get creeped out if you, like, go to them, and, like, nowadays, to shake their hand or fist bump or elbow, whatever you want to do.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well,
CDC. I don't dig the elbow. Like, the elbow thing's too weird to me. Like, here.
1 in 10,000 chance now of getting COVID off the surface, so we can go back to shaking hands, please.
Wow. Haven't had an appearance from COVID beetle in a while.
Oh, as I've been saying all night, fomite transmission, very low in COVID.
You know, beetle is not ordered.
We learned that many months ago.
Ordered sanitary wipes from overseas.
In over a year. Wipes haven't been ordered in over a year. So to go back to this Bill being in a great mood, I think I can take a good guess as to why he was in such a good mood yesterday. Because he basically...
70 today.
He said it's his birthday.
Today's his birthday.
Oh my God.
Maybe that's why.
He's got a birthday coming up.
Maybe he got a present that he wasn't expecting yesterday.
Maybe his present was that he sat on a Zoom call with the New England media, and during the course of the time he spent with the media yesterday, he just proved that he owns all of them, that he is their daddy. Because Bill, if you go through the questions, there seem to be a few things missing in there. A few things, and it just sort of proves...
What's the number one?
It just sort of proves that Bill is a boss. And there are other coaches in this league that probably look at Bill and say, how does he do it?
Yeah.
Not how does he win 6 Super Bowls? How does he just come up with idea after idea in scheming and preparation for game? Not those things. Not managing things in game. Not being a coach. How does he get this part?
I don't know.
Where he lets Tom Brady leave, wants Tom Brady to leave. He's sort of done with him. They're done with each other. Brady leaves. He gets Cam Newton, who does not have a good year. And part of him not having a good year is that Bill didn't put anything around the guy. And then he re-signs the quarterback. Everybody in New England and beyond talks about it for days and months on end.
Yeah, we're still doing it.
And for the first time, he speaks. And no one seems to ask or think, why did you do that, Bill? Here's the question. It's not that hard. Why did you re-sign Cam Newton? Why was it important to re-sign Cam Newton? Isn't that the first thing that had to be asked yesterday?
Yeah. If you love Cam Newton so much, why don't you extend him at the end of the year before he had the ability to bounce elsewhere?
Oh, okay, no one asked specifically about Cam. Do you know who your starting quarterback is for this season?
I don't think he does.
That's okay. You can say you don't
know. I think he would have answered that yesterday.
You can say, no, I don't know. It's too early and we just don't know.
I think he would have answered that yesterday.
Okay. There's something. He gave a lot of nothing in this press conference.
Yeah.
But it's not unusual. And stupid me, and I'm going to say stupid Jim Louth too, because this is why I'm including him in this. Because the other day, I was talking to Jim about Bill. Oh, Bill's going to have his availability. Jim reminded me of it.
Right.
I said, oh, yeah, well, that's interesting. First time he's talked since a lot of things have happened. Since the offseason, all the signings, the money being spent, Cam Newton coming back, Brady winning a Super Bowl. There's all kinds of things that have happened.
Mm.
And I said, oh, wow, Felger Man's going to run that live? I wonder, that's 2 o'clock. You and I talked about it, too.
We had
a conversation.
We would have ran it live.
Because Felger Maz, that's not typically their thing. They don't love it. I was just interested in the radio programming side of it. Oh, that should be a good one. That should be a good one with Bill. And ultimately, they didn't. You know why Felger Maz didn't? Because they're smarter than us.
They knew that he wouldn't say anything, but if he did, they could grab it and pound the hell out of that one point.
No, that's why. They didn't run it because they're smarter than us, because they are not stupid like me, thinking that, oh, he's going to get some real questions and maybe give a little something on
correct.
That. Stupid me. We've been doing this for 20 years. Why did I think yesterday would have been any different? Smart, smart people on that 2-6 show to know that, to know that there would be nothing of value.
They kind
of
know the
25 minutes that they spent together. The members of the media and Bill, because he owns them. He owns it all. He owns them.
You guys would have taken the free 25 minutes, though.
Through the,
of course we would have.
Through the
that's for different reasons.
You know, what is it? What's going on here? Is it through the intermediaries that don't ask about Cam? Don't, you know, stay away from the Cam topic.
So. Yeah. Oh, you and think? I mean, there's a guy, like, I remember when Parcells would walk in the room.
Our meeting room would be loud, rambunctious, you know, everybody's jacking around. Like, Bill would come in the door, and it would take him about 5 seconds to get up to the podium. And then you could just, then you hear a pin drop. Then he's, okay, all right, we ready to go today? Like, the command of the room, and Bill Belichick has this same control over this press, the same way. Because I sit in there in fifth quarter, you know, as we're doing our TV, and God forbid we're still doing live TV critiquing what just happened after a loss. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, crap, here come the doors open, here in comes Bill. Yeah, we just stop talking. Let's go to the head coach.
How does he do it? That's what other coaches must look at him and say, how does he own these guys? How does he own that room?
Years put in and success. That's how.
I mean,
and he doesn't waver. He doesn't change. If it's his way or the highway.
I mean,
like
the first question through, I don't even know who asked them. I read the transcript like four times already.
He grunted at Volin, which was fantastic.
The first question is about
Roach's balls.
Pocket passers versus non-pocket passers in the quarterback position developing.
Was that Reese?
And changing. What are we doing here, guys? What are we doing? Are you talking about the history of the game again?
Yeah, that's how you get him going.
Why don't we break out Steve Belichick's book and do a reading from it? You know, talk about scouting or something.
Yeah.
You know, give
the fair catch and a punt inside the 10.
Styles of quarterbacks? Are you open to one style versus what the hell is going on here? Bill, why did you feel the need to have five different guys look at Justin Fields? Do you like him? Anything? No?
Bill, why were you at Mac Jones's pro day and not Justin
Fields? Why so vague? Why are we dancing around this thing? What the hell's going on?
I think it comes.
Is it because of COVID? I think it might be because of COVID.
I think the reporters have COVID brain.
I think it's because the reporters can't get in there and actually have sources like they normally do.
It's a problem.
And so they've just got to take all the crumbs that Bill feeds them.
Unfairly, and I said this to you at the end of the year, and this is what we are worried about going into the next year, and I would not want to be a beat reporter right now because it's near impossible to develop any sort of relationships with anybody within the walls of that locker room. And that's what happens during lunch period. You're an hour and a half in there, and you can mull around, kind of chit-chat with guys. Hey, off the record, let me talk to you about this. Or on the record, can I ask you this question? And that's how you develop that trust factor. Like, there's young guys that have no clue who some of these reporters are.
I really do like the question, though. The one I did like was asking directly about what Robert Kraft had said about the draft. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was right to the point. Hey, Robert Kraft said your drafts have sucked and that he's seen a new approach. What's the new approach?
Yeah. Want to get into some of these next?
That's real. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. I think there's something there, too, with the draft. And we need to figure out who the hell the top six picks are in this draft.
I don't think so.
I think
you're reading too much into it because there was so little to read into there.
Or maybe he's setting someone up to say, you know what? Oh, crap, this team values somebody. Let's panic. He's making other teams poop their pants right now by putting numbers on things, I think. He's already playing the game.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant. I'll tell you what game he is playing. Owning everybody that has anything to do with covering the team right now.
It's his birthday.
He's owning them all.
What do you want to do?
Bill Belichick is your daddy. Bill is your daddy. That's what's going on there. He's a boss. Total boss. That's why he's in a great mood yesterday.
Nice shirt. Nice vest. Yeah,
guys, I just spent 25 minutes in the media. They didn't even ask me why I brought Cam Newton back. What?
He's actually
look at these idiots.
He was kicking a soccer ball around yesterday.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
So, you ever kick one of these?
Wonderful.
No.
Yeah. Dad wouldn't let me play that, coach.
All right, we'll come back and talk more about it. We'll hear some of it coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why does it seem that the pocket passer is sort of losing its luster?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good, John. How you doing?
Good.
The way you look at the position, it's you're open to one guy versus one style versus maybe another style.
I was wondering if you could just touch on Julian Edelman, his retirement recently.
When you're selecting a player there, do the off-field makeups and the way he'll fit into your locker room also incorporate themselves into the decision?
Would you ever be willing to, based on your draft grades, quote-unquote overdraft?
Hey, Bill, I'm curious about the so-called in-game adjustments to a draft.
If I could just quickly add on. So,
try to limit your questions to one question rather than the follow-ups.
A quick follow-up. I apologize, Stacey. We don't get too many opportunities with you, Bill.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good, Dan. How about you?
Shut up, Bolin.
No complaints. No complaints.
That's good. We don't want to hear him anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Freaking Roach.
Oh, man. What a day. What a day. Bill's a boss. Total boss. No follow-ups. No follow-ups are allowed. That benefits him, too.
The no Zoom follow-ups, no complaints.
No complaints, no follow-ups. We will mute your line. You're on Zoom now.
Yep.
Mute. Oh, you want to follow up? Nah. That. Nope. You're out. All right. So let's get to the thing that you thought was meaningful yesterday, Zoe. Which was, you think there's an answer in there about moving up in the draft that you think applies to this year's draft.
Yeah. And I think because he gave a specific number and they talked about the ability to move up. And he says, well, you know, if you have a certain grade on a player and do we have the audio to play? I'm sure, but he specifically talks about the top six players in the draft.
Like, yeah, we'll play it, though. Okay. It's long, but we can play it.
Yeah,
let's
play it in context. Go ahead.
Well, I think that question really applies to every position on the board. There are players that if you just grade them on what they've done or what their production has been over the course of their career, you're not going to get that player. If you see the player's upside in development and, you know, growth, then you pay a much higher price for the player than what his production shows, because you feel that in time or experience or different system or whatever the combination of reasons are, that player will perform above maybe what his production was in college. Could be injury related, could be, as I said, scheme related, it could be, you know, just the physical development of the player. So those are always things that you talk about. It's you're obviously betting on the pun there. You're betting on the player's development versus what you might actually see from another player. But in some cases, the upside might be greater. Maybe the downside might be greater, too. But you, at some point, you decide to make that investment, and then, you know, when we all see how the player turns out. But that's fairly common at every position. There are always players at every spot that fall into that category that you have to, you know, you're going to have to draft higher than really what they've done.
Okay, stop it right there. Now,
if you're
what he's talking about here is the risk versus the reward of, did they maximize the player during college? So, for instance, you look at a player that played at Alabama all 4 years. So you played Alabama, you played four big regular seasons against good SEC competition, and then you had the playoffs, and then you had your bowl games. So if you sit there and you look at what he's talking about, the whole maximization of their career, why should we overpay for a guy that, shoot, maybe already hit his ceiling in year four at Alabama because of the amount that the guy has played? See, what he could be telling you here is, like, a guy like Trey Lance, we might view him, and a lot of people say, wow, he didn't play against anybody. Guy hasn't played in 2 years. So we might gamble on that guy because we think in 2 years, this guy's going to hit his peak and sort of work its way through. Now, Bill got into some deeper numbers regarding where they sit at 15, and he specifically talked about the top six in the draft.
Yeah, he said at 15 we can eliminate a few players. Mm-hmm. I think we have that, too.
Sure.
You know, at 15, I think we could eliminate a few players that won't be at 15. And then you could look at a couple scenarios and say, well, you know, these three players are there, which one would we take? If these other three different players are there, which one would you take? You know, you go through that exercise and talk about that. But I would say normally something – now, there's less options at 15 than there are, you know, 28, 30, 31, you know, some other spots that we've drafted from. But I would say normally something will happen, and there could very well be a player there that either you don't expect to be there, or maybe he is a couple spots, maybe at 12, 13, he's still on the board, and you really thought that he'd be gone in the top six, seven picks. And then that, you know, then the question comes, you know, do you move up and try to get that player that's fallen a little bit?
Okay.
And so.
Okay. So he's telling you right there, we're not moving up into the top 10. But they have their guys, they have their eyes set on six players, top six or seven. And if one of those fall after 10, now we start to get a little antsy. Why is the guy falling? Maybe we should pounce. Maybe we weren't in on this guy because we thought, okay, us being at 15, we could eliminate that player. He's going to be gone. He'll be off the board because they have such a high grade on that player. It could be a quarterback. It could be a corner. It could be the tight end Pitts. What if Pitts falls? But you already got two tight ends, so that takes him off the board. See, there's things now where you got to tie into free agency with the draft because you've already addressed some big needs with free agency. But who is that player at six? You know, because we look and we think three quarterbacks are off the board, one, two, three. This year, there's three quarterbacks going. Will there be four? Then who the hell are these other two guys that Bill's looking at saying, okay, maybe we could get from 15 to 12 or 11 to go get that player because we thought that player was going to be gone in the top five. He's giving you something there, or else he's trying to create a scenario where other teams look at, okay, this is what the Patriots are going to do because Bill said they're going to do it. It could be gamesmanship. It could be a real answer he actually gave you. I thought that was a pretty deep answer there for Bill to actually pinpoint a pick, you know, meaning top six or seven. And then if he falls around 10 to 12, we're sitting there at 15. He's picking at 15. He's taking a defensive player at 15.
So then what is all of this? Why do you think this is valuable then?
In case quarterback falls.
I don't get why any of this is valuable. Oh, we could move up to 12 or 13 from 15. Wow, that's wild. Moving case, up three picks, you might do that?
In case the quarterback.
Holy crap.
In case the quarterback that they may love all of a sudden has fallen.
Bill just spent like 1,000 words on saying, if a player who should have gone in the top six or seven is still available at 12 or 13, we may try and move up to get him.
It's mostly he's giving
really?
It's mostly he's giving him one of these.
Is that right?
But that shows you like...
I mean, holy crap. You're suckered into this too. Bill talks about anything and it's like, oh, he's giving you something there. No, he isn't.
No, because we got to read...
He's not giving anybody
you know
anything.
That for a fact, but we got to read between the tea leaves with this guy.
Which is obnoxious is my point today.
Okay.
This whole thing is obnoxious. And because we've tried to read through tea leaves for two decades, it's gotten to the point where people are trying to trick him into saying something with like the vague
right.
questions.
Right.
What the hell's the point of this?
That's what Kern...
Why are we wasting
heard
our
Kern
time?
Aaron, that thing. Kern's trying to twist this question.
I feel
what?
So stupid today for thinking that without Nick stupid. Caserio and Bill actually going to do the pre-draft press conference, oh, that could be fun.
Oh, I did the Nick
you
thing
know?
With him.
Maybe.
I did the Nick interview every
Maybe.
Pre-draft.
Maybe there's
Nick
something.
Never gave you anything.
Maybe. Maybe you just talk about a player being good. Maybe that. Pick any player in the draft. He might say somebody's good. If someone falls out of the top six or seven to 12 or 13, that's only three picks ahead of us. We might try and make a move. Well, yeah, most teams would if they really like a player that dropped six or seven picks.
Yeah, but
yeah, they might try and make a move.
But he told you that's they're not going in the top 10. Everybody's like, oh, get up to three or four. Patriots are in at four. They ain't in on four.
So
maybe wake the F up. They ain't in on four.
So whether that ends up coming to fruition or not, you know, maybe they still could. But the fact that there is discussion and talk about maybe moving up.
It's excitement.
There's something there, Beetle. How often do they move up in the draft? How often? Not often. So
it has happened in the past.
He trades, but he always trades backwards.
They have a tendency to trade back. So him laying out the, I wouldn't call it a likelihood, but the possibility that if somebody fell a few spots, they would trade to move up a few spots. I think it's noteworthy. I don't know if it's newsworthy. It's not giddy worthy. But it's worthy of mention.
He may force another team to give up more than he want to give up because you think, uh-oh, the Patriots are in on this guy now, too. So he could be screwing up with other.
That's what I think about all these.
To your daddy comment, like, you know, he owns.
Oh, he owns them.
Yeah. So he's Bill's already playing games here.
I wonder, and other teams do this too. Like whether it's sending personnel or Bill himself to certain pro days in certain spots. How much of it is really based on an interest in that player, and how much of it is to create interest for another team so that you can somehow make them think that is a desirable pick that they need to pick at a certain spot to ensure that you get what you want at your spot. It's, you know, they're all playing chess when it comes to this stuff.
You know, you guys have sent five different people to look at one particular quarterback. That seems noteworthy, Bill. Are you scouting quarterbacks, and are you scouting that particular quarterback?
Beetle's more upset with the questions than he is Bill's
answers.
Would
you like to draft a quarterback, Bill? Is that crazy to ask? You know, hey, Justin Fields has had five Patriots staffers go look at him, including your offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. What do you think of the player?
I would ask about Josh's shirt at the Alabama day. Is that a real shirt or was it a two shirt?
You would ask about that.
Thought we solved that. It was a backpack.
You would. The biggest trade they've ever made was moving up like one spot in terms of how high in the draft. They moved up a spot to draft Ty Warren. One spot. And they were in the same ballpark. They drafted him at 13th.
Yeah.
We might move up a couple of spots. Here's what I think he did say there, is that when you're in the front half of the first round as opposed to the back half, you're sort of, I'm going to use one of your favorite words, you're dictating how the draft goes. Yep. By the time you get to 28, 29, you're basically, okay, how did the draft go for the first 27 picks?
Right.
And now we see what's left. You have options when you're higher up in the draft, when you're in that front half. You have a lot more options than you do even 15 picks later, which is Bill, in a roundabout way, admitting that when you get from 15 to in the late 20s or in the 30s at the start of the second round, that the value of those picks goes down in a hurry.
True.
It does.
Then you fall into the Jordan Richards of the world.
The Rozay Dowlings. The
Cyrus Joneses.
And the Cyrus Joneses of the world.
And the Dominique Easleys. The Chad Jacksons.
Dominique Easley was a first rounder.
Yeah, but again, you're taking risk on that guy because you're thinking, okay, maybe the knee's going to be great. And we're going to have a find here.
Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls coming up next. Also, Bruins from last night. Taylor Hall with his first goal as a Bruin. Zoe is warming up the Clippers, as you can hear the buzzing already. That's coming up as well.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds. I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the high slot, Pastrnak gets it back. Sends Hall over the line left side into the far circle. Shoots, he scores! Taylor Hall with the big sell. His first as a Bruin. He flies up the ice, finds a seam, and makes it 3-1 Bruins.
Taylor Hall with his first Bruins goal last night. Bruins finally get the win over the Islanders. He looked good. Looked good. Nice goal. Good.
Real nice goal. Wasn't that hard, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. But he moves. You know what I mean?
He's smooth. It gives you hope.
That is one part of the win. The other part of it is Mike Riley fitting in right away and being a productive Bruin. Bruce Cassidy talked about it after the game last night. He's talking about how much of a great pickup it was for them at the deadline, immediately making an impact. Hall's making an impact two games in. I know that it wasn't the, you know, greatest of goals, but it's a goal.
No, but if it gets Krejci's ass going too, you know, like Krejci alluded to it, like this is good by the organization that they're adding and feeling like we have a chance to do something. Like, and that's a guy that's been around for a long time that you need to play well once the playoffs start. Krejci has done that in past years. You know, when the lights are on, that guy shows up at playoff time. But it's been a while. And so, maybe this bolsters his line and gives him the confidence even more so moving forward.
So how do you think Tuukka looked last night?
Good.
He did.
Tuukka looked good.
He did. No,
he's different than Swayman. I mean, they are completely different goalies. That's what you could. That's the biggest thing that jumps.
Oh, yeah. Rask is great, but he's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's boring and he.
He's a pro.
Well, he's a position goaltender.
He knows how to absorb pucks and push them better than
Swayman. He's rarely out of position. Yeah. He does not have to panic to get back to where he wants to be.
Yeah, no,
he's always where he wants to be.
Yeah, Swayman's electric, you know? More of that Tim Thomas style. A little electric. A lot of movement. Rask, not so much. He's boring, but he's better. I mean,
solid. Just,
yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying
different.
The,
yeah.
The Bruins do need to have the backup plan, though, if Tuukka has any issues.
But even like Wagner, talking to Wagner yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about Tuukka? I'm good to go because he's good to go. Like,
he is good to go.
Them knowing Tuukka's in net gives them the best chance to win mentally because it's their guy. They know he's the number one goalie. Cassidy has said that. So if you get your number one goalie in net, your team's more confident. As good as Swayman's been. Like, if you got a playoff series starting tomorrow, probably 90% of those guys would say, I'd rather have Tuukka than Swayman.
Of course.
Yeah, I think they all would.
I would say 100% of them would say that.
Yeah. He gives you the best chance to win.
But Swayman's nice to have.
It's a nice little problem. Yeah.
So I think the things we were watching for is Tuukka healthy. Does he look the same? Does he look good? I think all those things were true last night.
He said from an injury standpoint, he felt nothing of that, but he's going to be sore because he hasn't played for a while. And that's natural. But he doesn't have that injury feeling, which is good for now. Knock on wood.
I don't think that the Islanders were all that great last night.
On their best effort.
I don't think that they created.
He wasn't tested. At all.
That's what I'm saying. He did not face any like barrage of shots.
What, they have 23? What, the Bruins have 23 shots in the first period?
Well, the shots alone, like, they couldn't get out of their own end. The Bruins were throwing everything at the puck, and afterwards they said the forwards and everybody, they're playing down low. They knew that's where they wanted to play last night, and just, my God, the shot disparity didn't allow the Islanders to do much and kind of get out of their own end and go put some shots on net on Tuukka. So
Bruins stats on Twitter @Bruins_stats. Scoring chances 40-13 in the game. High danger chances 13-0 in favor of the Bruins. They wrote, Islanders got absolutely eviscerated tonight. So the Islanders weren't creating great opportunities and peppering Tuukka Rask. He didn't get challenged all that much, but just in terms of him getting back and looking like he was ready to go.
Send a gift.
Oh, who are we sending a gift to?
My board's wacky today.
Yeah, a lot of things are wacky.
This place is
I threw off the entire stream at the end of my update.
Oh, that was you.
But I didn't do it.
Right. I used to have
that screen way over there. I didn't touch it.
Yeah.
I used to have issues in big rainstorms with my cable. Like, it would get glitchy when, and I don't know if, like, the cable.
Yeah, water in the lines.
Properly.
No, it gets water in the lines. Yeah.
It's pouring today. So this place could, like, don't touch anything and get shocked.
Like clippers plugged in?
Oh, that's fine. TikTok.
Are you going to head down to the garage now?
Soon. Whenever we go to break. Yeah. I'm ready.
What'd you say? What'd you say, T-Bone? Oh, you told me something else. Okay. All right. Zoe's going to head downstairs with Milliken. Uh-huh. Milliken, any final words before you go down there?
Pray for me.
All right, those guys are going down to the garage. We're going to Zoom in with them, connect with them on Zoom from the garage. So they're going to go do that.
No calls?
You know.
You want to grab a call? Hold on, Zoe, sit back down. We're going to take a call.
No, we're not going to take a call.
Come on.
We'll do that coming back next.
Wow, really?
Or we'll wait until Zoe's back after the top of the hour. It's 10:40. We're behind. Yeah, the shaving is next. Don't go anywhere.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Scott Zolak.
Listen to this.
Has the best analysis. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Milliken are down in the garage here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tyler is wrapped in a 98.5 The Sports Hub banner.
He looks like the cover of the Who album. We're all draped in the Union Jack.
Yeah, he's very stoic. Zoe's standing there with the buzzers in hand. Zoe, you can hear us, correct?
I can hear you great. Yeah, this feels like this is like we're in some Saw movie and like some weird crap's going on in the basement, you know?
Yeah. So why don't you just go ahead and start that? Yeah. Why don't you just have at it, and we'll keep an eye on that as Zoe goes to town.
There we go.
On Milliken. Oh, boy.
He really pulled his head back before he started. Really,
you know, I wonder where he got that move from.
Oh, my God.
I wonder what move.
Jesus Christ, look at his chin.
Well, at least you can see a chin.
That's love the Red Sox. Red Sox love me. Yeah.
So we're getting the first look at the chin, which has been self-described by Tyler Milliken as a weak chin, a soft chin.
Very
strong.
Very
weak.
Zoe, once you're done, are you going to shave him in his chair like in The Office? Like Will Ferrell when he came? That's a power.
He looks like Brian Stork.
It's a power move. Have him schedule a shave in The Office.
Okay. Come on this side, Jen. Put your head this way. Don't move that way.
Oh,
Zoe kind of looks like he's done this before.
He does. He looks like he's had some experience with the Clippers. Oh, it's very patchy over in this area now that we're taking a look at as the beard comes off. This, again, is because Tyler Milliken, who is the biggest Red Sox fan in this building, without a doubt, huge baseball fan, he's agreed to do this because the Red Sox won 7 games in a row. He, going back 3 games now, was already in for this. He agreed to a 7-game win streak would be the mark.
But if he's I don't understand how this started. If he's such a Red Sox fan, did he not think they were going to win 7 in a row and therefore he agreed to shave his beard?
I think
if
it was
did?
That
he just sacrificed his beard.
I think it was Zoe was laughing at the idea that they could go on a big run. And he said, I'll guarantee it. And then it was weird. Like, he sacrificed the beard and was like, you can shave my beard when it happens. Or Zoe was saying, well, if they win that many games, I should get something out of that. Like, okay. It should have gone the other way.
Yeah,
he should have been allowed to shave Zoe's head.
He's got the scissors out now.
Now he's trimming up those two like dual landing strips he's got going down. If you follow the mustache line down the other side of the mouth, there's fur left on his neck, and now Zoe is trimming up that fur. But it looks like there's patches in between the corners of his mouth and his jawline. It's an odd look. It's an odd look so far.
You should see how much stuff there is.
Oh, he's going to be itchy.
How is he not already itchy with all that hair? The chin.
It is a weak chin.
It is a very weak chin, yes. Not a lot of definition to it. It is different. Why don't we take some calls here in the meantime while those guys are down there shaving?
Oh, okay.
Scott's on the pike. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, that's awesome, by the way. I just wanted to say, I wanted to follow up on what you were saying about Belichick, man. I mean, normally he's like a mumbling bag of farts, but the one time that you think he's going to say something, he doesn't say anything. You know what I mean? It's like,
what made you think
he
was going to say something yesterday?
Well, because I want to hear about the quarterback, like you were saying.
Well, it's not going to.
Ah, God, it's killing me. Right.
Yeah, no, Scott, I understand. I know what you mean. You fall for it. You just sort of fall for it, and you get sucked in, and you fall into that trap of thinking, oh, this could be a good one today. A lot of things that have happened since the last time we heard from the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Mm.
Huh. We might be interested to hear that. Or he gives you absolutely nothing. So we take it all back. Oh, wait, we can't even take the calls now because Milliken's not here to screen the calls.
Oh, well. T-Bone's going to have to do double duty back there. It's looking good, though. I tell you, he looks so much better without the beard. He really does.
Yeah, but now in addition to having the beard shaved, he's going to need a haircut, too. You know?
Well, as long as
he's
they're down
need
there.
Some full grooming. Full grooming all the way around.
Extreme makeover.
Zoe's still cutting now. With the it appears he put an attachment on the wall clippers.
He's absolutely leaving those two landing strips below the jawline, but kind of still on the mustache line.
If landing strips, plural.
Yeah, if it were a handlebar mustache, it would go all the way down, like along those lines. I don't know what I don't know why Zoe's leaving that on his neck, though.
To be rude. To be rude is what I think he's doing. And now he's gone to a battery-operated cutter and clipper.
Oh, he's getting very detailed. He's going full Dominican barbershop now. He is getting right in there with the
straight lines,
tiny clippers. Yes.
Absolutely. Richard in Rhode Island. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Is Tim McBone around? I just wanted to talk about him before I get to my Red Sox.
He's not around, but feel free to go ahead. What do you got for him?
The worst sports anchor in the whole state, and it's not hard to do. There's like four people. Like, come on, buddy.
McCone, the worst anchor in the state of Rhode Island, according to you.
Yeah.
Who are the others? Who are the other three?
You got Carpano at NBC, Kayada at NBC.
Yeah, sure.
And then the guys over at ABC and what's it called? Channel 12. But McBone, like, goes to a high school game for one quarter. Like, kid scores like 12 points, doesn't even put it on the news. They'll show, like, one basket of the kid that got 2 minutes. Like, come on, Tim. Like, get it together, buddy.
Well, he doesn't decide how much time he gets.
Oh, he has a say.
Well,
he's got to get back to the station to, you know, for the broadcast, doesn't he?
I think McBone does
it's like a 5 o'clock game. The news at 11:30 with like four people watching.
I think he does a fine job. I like McBone. Both.
Have
on
you
radio.
Ever seen him on TV?
Yes, he does a fine job.
Do you get that station?
Yeah,
at your
I
home?
Have.
I know.
Well, he's
seen
on like once every 5 years.
I buy fan DVDs. People record them, burn them, and then they sell them underground.
Yeah. They give the sports report like a minute and a half on those things.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got today, Richard?
The Sox are pretty hot, guys. I think they're hot. They're going to – they get 2013 vibes to them. They're going places.
We'll see. It's early. They're going to be better than I thought they would be, I think. I don't know that, but I think that. I'm starting to think, okay, they're going to be a real – they're going to contend for a wild card spot, truly contend for a wild card spot. And I feel a lot better today about their possibility of being a playoff team than I did 2 weeks ago. I don't know how you can't. I don't know how you can't at least feel better about them, because we didn't feel great collectively as a region prior to the year. Jake is at Curry College. What's up, Jake?
Hey, boys, what's going on? So, first of all, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Bruins game last night, and just, like, I think that was their biggest win of the season by far. But also, while I have the simulcast attention, I was kind of wondering why I can't get your guys' simulcast on the NBC Sports app on my Xbox. But when I go on the browser or I go on my phone, I can get it just fine. It's weird.
I have no idea. You're talking about things I have no knowledge about. I would go to 98.5thesportshub.com and stream us through the app. That's what I would tell you.
Fiddle effing around watching your TV on your Xbox.
852.
Yeah. Get cable.
Oh, there's a good profile shot of Milliken.
Wow.
You want to listen in?
Yeah, let's have a listen. See what's going on down there.
Good looking boy now. Good boy, dude, for the Red Sox. I love you. Attaboy.
He's talking to Milliken like he's a dog.
Attaboy. I like that.
Oh, he's a good boy. Who's a good boy?
He's like a 2-year-old getting a haircut. He's scared.
Right? Right? Zoe, almost done?
Yeah, we're done here, I think.
No idea what he just said.
Yeah.
Okay. Thumbs up. Tyler and Zoe are going to come on back upstairs now. Hardy has our headlines. We're back in 90 seconds.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.